I'm Hillary.
I'm Sandra. Coming up on this episode, we're going to talk to a woman who has totally and completely and utterly opted out of having a relationship with another person.
It's just too much. I got to know what gets a person there, why.
And what did the last one do to you?
Right.
The Quick and the Dirty Podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
So Sandra got sent on a little bit of a mission this week because we're looking for new ideas for content. So we thought, where else can you find those but FetLife?
FetLife is a website, in case you don't know, that features pretty much every single category of the fetish world. And having now just joined and gone to the second page, I can tell you I'm already in too deep, Hillary. I'm out. I can't. I already know I can't handle FetLife. I'm out.
Like, what do you mean? Like, what are you finding? You're just in the questionnaire section.
Well, the first thing they did was ask me this elaborate thing about, like, who am I to define myself sexually? Am I a daddy? Am I a baby girl? Am I a sub? Am I a dominant? Am I a baby? Like, it was all this stuff. And
can I call you daddy?
Do not call me daddy. Am I a baby girl? Like, it got really, like, right, serious about all the questions. But I, if you scroll right to the bottom of the 400 options, I chose undecided because that's nice. All I have right now. I'm like, oh, I'm undecided. But because, you know, I want to basically go into this website, not rogue, openly, to learn more about the different communities and maybe get ideas for the podcast and then see if we can get people on the podcast. I mean, I think
that
it's
totally
fair, right?
Makes sense.
Am I misrepresenting myself?
No. That totally makes sense.
Oh, does it now?
Well, it's a great place to start. I mean, these are all the people we want to learn about.
I guess so. But I mean, once I got through the baby girl section, I got to the next section, which was basically a giant picture of a shaved vagina.
Why would they have that up there?
I don't know. That was just like the first picture. I guess that's where you start scrolling. But that's like your first thing. And people put like hardcore sex videos of that.
Oh, so this is people posting photos of themselves to get attention.
Yes. Yes.
Wild.
And you would think, Hillary, after doing this podcast for almost 3 years, I can handle an unsolicited picture of a vagina. Of a vagina.
You can't even say it. You're having like flashbacks.
I know.
Just thinking about it.
Like, I'm in too deep. And now I'm like, Then what we're specifically looking for is older men who date younger women. And there's like a whole subsection devoted to that.
Right. But then, like, what scared you off? Do you feel like an imposter?
Yeah, I feel like an undercover reporter, that I'm not going in openly looking for what it is that other people are looking for. I mean, I'm going in there as a journalist, basically.
Because nobody ever lies online, Sandra.
Okay. All right. I got your point. I know. I hope it's cool that I go online and I like solicit. It's like, should I do this? Should I pretend that I'm somebody that I'm not and bait and switch? Because I can bait and switch.
No, I don't think you need to bait and switch. I think you put it right on your profile. Looking to learn more about this world.
For my podcast?
Sure. Why not? Maybe some... I mean, exhibitionists, they're part of it.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, that's true. And I forgot to tell you, there's like another weird part too. They want a picture of you or something. So because I didn't want an actual picture of myself, what I did was I moved the camera while I was smiling. So it's like a blurry, mysterious picture of me in movement, so that I pray that none of my listeners from my Ottawa show know that it's me, and then they would wonder, what the hell is Sandra doing on FetLife? You know what I mean?
Just use our podcast picture. Be totally open.
Should I?
I think so.
Well,
because maybe people want to talk about it.
I hope so.
Because people want to, I think the whole thing is when you are somebody who likes something that maybe other people aren't aware of, or they don't feel heard, you're looking for people like you, and maybe we can help freaky people everywhere find each other.
I hope so. God, I really, really hope so. Okay, FetLife.com is where it is. And if you are on it, any listeners of the Quick and the Dirty podcast, and you're part of that community, you can find me. My username is Sandy Beach. One word, Sandy with an I. Don't. Sandra P was taken, okay? So I'm Sandy Beach now.
Well, you're on FetLife. So if you said Sandra P... Some, you may not get what you're looking for.
Oh,
urination
God help
fetish,
me.
What if
I,
you know.
What if I find a lover in all of this accidentally? There are worse things, right?
Well, yeah.
We've talked about everything from polyamory to BDSM lifestyles on this podcast. We've had people on this podcast who have been married to themselves, but we have never spoken to someone who has completely opted out of being in a relationship. And it's funny because when we were looking for a guest, we were actually looking to talk to a high profile or a high powered, empowered woman who could sort of talk about how she navigates the world of dating and so on. But we ended up finding someone who has gone the complete opposite way. Please welcome to the Quick and the Dirty podcast. If you live in Ottawa, you know her as a former TV news reporter. You have read some of her work in the local newspaper. She's still a practicing journalist and a very high profile businesswoman, Kimothy Walker. Hello.
Hello, ladies. I'm a little afraid. I've seen some of your previous content, so I don't know how this is going to go today.
Don't worry. You'll still have a reputation when this is all over.
It just might not be a good one.
That's
or maybe it'll be better, Kimothy.
Yeah,
maybe.
How bizarre it was, though, when Hillary and I were talking, like I said, about finding a high-profile person, and then you came along.
Well, and the funny thing is, like, you and I have known each other in certain circles for years and years, right? But until you start talking to friends like Sam LaPrade, you don't know what's going on with people's individual lives and what choices they've made and what's been going on. So, you know, I always think communication is the thing that binds us all. So communicating is a good thing.
I think one of the things that women struggle with in relationships is that balance of power. Like, I think we all struggle with it, but some of the traditional patriarchy makes that more difficult when you are a woman in power.
It also makes you tough to date, honestly. You know, there's a whole power dynamic there. And, you know, when I'll be 52 this summer. Three and a half years ago, became what they call single again, I thought, God, there is so much that I need to figure out. I had never lived alone in my entire life. You know, my daughter went away to university. I was getting separated same year, left a high profile job, not that far before, lost both of my dogs in a short period of time. I had never lived on my own. And that created a whole other set of questions when you're a woman in your 50s and you run a company.
So just take us back now. You've like you say, you've never lived alone. So you went from your parents' house to your first marital home and then your second marital home? How many marital homes have you had, Kimothy? Let's start there.
I've had two marital homes and
all
two
right.
husbands.
Okay.
But I was also a single mother, right? So I was juggling the job at the television station and was also single parenting for 14 years. And, you know, who has time to date in that period? Well, apparently I did because I got married a second time. and, you know, always had pets and dogs. And when my last dog died after a really difficult year where I also lost my dad, you know, it wasn't really that I made a choice not to date. It was, who has time for this? I'm rebuilding a life. I'm figuring out for the first time after taking care of other people for almost my entire life, what do I want now? So it wasn't really the choice of, I'm just not going to date anymore. It was, wow, this has got to be super good. And everybody needs to have their shit together if I'm going to do this another time. And I'm not sold on that, but, you know, I never say never.
What do you think makes powerful women difficult to date?
You know, it's funny because I read a bunch of articles recently on everybody thinks, and I don't necessarily think it's, you know, men because I'm obviously very gay positive. In a couple relationship, if the dynamic is that there is somebody in the relationship that is out at events, talking to people all the time, networking, it can often throw off that dynamic. And I think a lot of people say, well, I want to be in a relationship with someone who's strongly independent and has their own mind. And then it doesn't always materialize that way. And I did this to myself in both of my major relationships, is that I became, my friends will all laugh, I became the person doing the grocery shopping and the cooking and, you know, a lot of caregiving for not only my daughter, but, you know, the friends and the people that would come over. And I lost myself. And I found that a very strange experience, that as somebody who was so incredibly independent, I just gave it away so easily. So, you know, this last time I just decided I needed to do some work on myself. And I think that that's going to be good for whomever I enter into a relationship next with, is I needed to do the homework to become the person that would be an equal in a relationship. It was incumbent upon me.
So that's very interesting, because you weren't an, you thought you were an equal, and then you presented as an equal, is what you're saying originally, and thought you were an equal because you had this high profile job in the city. You had come off, you know, how many years of being a single mom and so on. But then what happened? Like, really, what happened?
Gave away my power. You know, just it, and it happens to a lot of women I know, is that we just jump in with, we're going to fix everything, right? We are going to make this relationship work, and we're going to fix everything, and we're going to take care of everything. And I think, and there's a whole phenomenon of women who get into their 50s and realize that they've been doing that their whole lives as people pleasers, and that they haven't paid attention to their own needs and what those are. So before I dump that onto some, because, you know, the funny thing is, you know, when you become single, it's like an egg timer goes off. Your friends start saying, so you're ready to date again? No.
And it's no. It's been 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 3.5 years.
Here's what I find interesting. You know, when a girl starts to date a guy, especially a 20-something girl, because I can speak, I've been a 20-something girl, and I used
to
think
we can all speak to that.
Have we all been 20-something? No, yeah. No. Okay. What I mean is, when you date a guy, the thing is, you always try to change them. You do. You get this guy, and then it's like, I love you so much. And then as soon as you get him, you try to change everything about him to make him what you really want. Mm-hmm. Now, is it possible? What it sounds like is that there's a lot of men who do the same thing, especially when it comes to powerful females. Why do they want to change us when that is the very thing that attracted them to you?
Well, I think because the public persona is very different than the private, right? And, you know, and I will admit I was not my best self during this last one, because a lot was going on with me personally. You know, becoming an empty nester, I'm incredibly close to my daughter, and she works for me, actually. And when you came down to the lobby, that's who I was on the phone with. I think that we need to do a lot of work in the area for women of not thinking we can be perfect in all realms. And I think that that's what we try and do. We try and be perfect all the time. And it's exhausting. And then we get mad, and then we get frustrated, and we take on all of the responsibility because, you know, equality isn't something we've mastered quite well.
I also think that there's a certain part of us that the initial thing that we find ourselves attracted to ends up being the thing that pisses you off the most later in life, because you notice it the most. Like, if you were to think about your partner, maybe it's like their cutting sense of humor. You find it really funny when you're dating, and then years later, it's not funny anymore. It's annoying.
Especially if you're on the receiving end. That guy becomes an asshole.
Or maybe he's like so easygoing, and you realize that's not easygoing. That's lazy.
Well, and I think a lot of times, too, we buy into the dream. You know, everything's going to be perfect and wonderful, and we don't realize the work that is necessary. And then when you're in a situation like me, when, you know, you're thinking about dating in your 50s, like, God, nobody needs to see that. Seriously. Like, you're thinking about dating someone new and what's involved with that. It's horrifying.
What do you mean, Kimothy?
Well, you want a tea light in another area of the house. You don't want the lights on, you know. And
oh, you know what I heard, by the way, recently?
What's that?
Somebody told me, this is hilarious. Someone told me that she got a light at Costco, and it has all these different shades of light, and you can get a pink light. And she told me that the pink light makes you look perfect because you can't see any of the dimples on your body. And I was like, give me some of that pink light, woman.
But, you know, this is the thing. I can get all worked up about, like, oh, that's just not going to be. Men don't care. They really don't. I mean, I talk to my male friends about, like, seriously, Kim, you are obsessing about something that doesn't exist. And yet we do that to ourselves, because, Sandra, I heard you on one of the podcasts talking about, you know, wanting to look perfect and, you know, performance and not paying attention to the intimacy of dating. And I thought, how many of us do that? We're worried about how we look, so we're not in the moment because we're embarrassed. I mean, after my dad died, I got lazy and gained weight, and I have self-confidence issues. And I'm trying to come to grips with that.
That is shocking to me, because when I see you, you don't present as someone with self-confidence issues. You present yourself as like the most confident lady in the room.
Don't we all?
Don't we all? That's right.
Don't we all?
Can I also speak to that sex thing, back to that for a second? I would be so worried about the flopping. You know what I mean? All the flopping that happens. And you talk about weight gain for a reason. I've gained weight for no good reason. I don't even have one. And I do it for just because I need to, like for fun, you know.
But just sometimes I think, like, behind closed doors, guys like the jiggle. They don't want to talk about it with their friends, but they love the jiggle.
You know, I was out for dinner with a friend who is with a woman, and she said, honey, just turn the music up really loud so you don't hear that business. I was like, okay, so even my lesbian friends are struggling with this, you know?
Oh, my God.
And yet people want me to start dating someone I don't know? Come on.
Your male friends have it bang on. You know, I joke about being self-conscious because I am, but I've been married for 100 years and so on. But at the end of the day, my male friends tell me the exact same thing. They're just happy that somebody wants to have sex with them. And here we are happy that maybe somebody wants us. They're thinking about the exact same thing because they're getting old too. And I'm going to tell you something. We hang, our boobies hang, their balls hang low. They get low hangers the older they get. I have a 52-year-old husband. Trust me, I know what
you
happens
to him. You want me to touch those? I know they've been
That's
in the
right.
toilet.
I know. Crisscross, baby. You touch my low hangers, I'll touch yours.
Okay, so I'm not here for you two to convince me to start dating again. Is that what I'm
just getting? Saying the last thing we should ever have is body image issues. So I look at you and you're such a gorgeous woman. I can't even hear it anymore. I'm not even hearing this anymore from you. Next subject.
Next subject.
Kimothy, you don't want to date. Is that, like, as you said, that's a right now. It might be a long-term thing. What are the biggest things holding you back other than knowing that you want to work on yourself?
Priorities, really. You know, my daughter, my asking myself, you know, after 50 and empty nesting, what do I want? That's a really difficult question for women to ask themselves. What do I want? Most of the time, the answers for me is some kind of traveling. I just got back from Curacao and scuba diving.
Did we just drop that into the podcast? Thanks, Kimothy. I knew you'd find a way.
But I love traveling. And so it's not really that I decided I don't want to date. It's that I had other priorities that were more important for the first time in my life. Is I need to figure some stuff out. I went through tremendous loss. I probably wouldn't be a great partner until I get that all sorted out. So it became second, you know, when the egg timer went off and everybody was like, so are you ready to start dating again? No, I've actually got other stuff that I really want to be doing right now in terms of building a new life, a life that is not, you know, my daughter's 22 now, and other than calling 17 times a day, she doesn't really need me. So I needed to figure out some of my own stuff.
So when you said earlier, we talked before we recorded this podcast, you said you were opting out. Like, you use that those two words. So you were, okay, and I asked you, and I'm going to ask you again. Let's say you go to a party and you are looking fine. Okay, your hair is happening, the makeup's on, you're just feeling your best self that night, and you lock eyes with a sexy man across the room. What happens next?
I go home.
Jesus, woman!
I know.
So you're like not into even casual.
I love how you frame that. Well, I'll give you guys an example. You know, the Ducks are in town playing. I dated someone with the organization the longest.
You dated a hockey player?
Hello. With the broadcast organization.
Oh,
and
that's,
you know,
not as exciting.
No, and he wanted to go skating on the canal this morning. And I said, I've got a meeting with some ladies that I would rather talk to. So, you know, I came here instead. And those are the priorities. You know, I'd probably be the worst date ever because at this point in my life, I need a deep, meaningful connection with somebody. You know, I was in my 20s, 30s, and 40s. At this point in my life, I want someone that matters and somebody that's done the homework And that's not going to be taking them home because I saw them across a crowded room. That's going to be some deep, meaningful work. And I don't know how many people are interested in that. And obviously, like, a lot of the men my age want to date people who are much younger. So that's also a bit of a statistical challenge.
It's also a bit of a cliche, but we won't get into that.
It is a cliche.
And it's ironic because right at the start of the podcast, we talked about, before you got here, Hills and I were talking about that's who we're looking for, men who like to date younger women. Because that's a brain I would like to dissect, although I think that it's a pretty simple answer at the end of the day.
Well, I dated younger men for a long time.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Well, can we talk about that for a minute?
If you like.
What I mean, younger, hey, Hillary, let me just say, younger men is always relative to your age. So, right. Hillary, what would a younger man be to you?
Oh, well, I would say like 15 years is when it starts to be weird. So, because I'm like 40.
25 for you, 25.
So like 20, anything in the 20s is weird.
Anything in the 20s for me? Because I'm like 2 years older than you, Hillary. So anything. You shut your mouth. I'm like, and so for me, the 20s, it would be like hanging out with my children. I couldn't even handle that. To me, 30, even I don't find 30-year-old men remotely attractive. I look at them and I think of them as boys because I've always said there's two kinds of men. I haven't always said that. The mature Sandra has said that. Mm. There's two kinds of men, the evolved and everybody else. Men who date younger women, traditionally in my mind anyway, are not evolved men. They're cliches. But women who date younger men are evolved.
But I think that they're both looking for the same thing, right? They want the excitement. They want the attraction. And you, Kimothy, you're more able to speak to this, but that feeling that we can put my career first because you haven't even figured out who you are yet. And just, it seems like it would be less hassle, but I don't think it is.
No, and in fact, you know, several of these individuals I'm still friends with and I care about very much. But, you know, what the major problem was is they wanted to have children. You know, lovely people. This wasn't just, you know, arm candy. This was individuals that I cared about. They just happened to be younger than I was. And, you know, then they want to have kids. And I was quite done with that business. So, you know, you're just at different life stages. And I really think it depends on the individual, you know, to stereotype and just, you know, this is all about arm candy. No, I actually think it's about the individual, but you eventually run into those milestone problems of age and what you want to be doing at a certain age.
So do you agree with what I said earlier, that there are evolved men out there and then there's everybody else? Because it sounds to me like you are looking for, if you were to be looking, one day, if ever, it would have to be an evolved man who is 100% self-aware of who he is, where he's been, who knows what he wants as well.
It's because a goddamn unicorn.
That's what I was going to say. They're pretty damn hard to find, if you ask me.
Well, and you know, I'm pretty sure you're not going to find them swiping, right? So in terms of where I'm going to put my energy in life, I have amazing friends. I have an amazing group of colleagues. You looking for a unicorn? It's just, for me, a matter of where I want to spend my energy at this point in my life.
Those ladies aren't going to keep you warm at night, though. Are they, Kimothy?
My hot flashes keep me warm at night.
That's fair enough. No. At what point, though, like, do you feel like at some point you are going to opt back in? And when you opt back in, will you wonder if you missed an opportunity because you were opting out?
For me, if I were to opt back in, it has to be extraordinary. And
so it would be for that right person, not opt in and then start looking.
Right. And so I think it's different because there are a lot of women I know who are looking for Mr. or Ms. Right. And they're not paying a whole lot of attention to their lives as they're unfolding. I don't want to be in a position where, you know, at 55, I put 4.5 years into looking on Tinder for somebody that was going to make me feel that my life was fulfilled. I need to live my life now and enjoy all of the gifts that I have, but also do a little bit of that exploration about, wow, I'm 51 and I'm an empty nester. And do I adopt another rescue? Do dog, not human.
human rescues are the worst.
And, you know, And if something comes along and it's deep and meaningful and it is sort of the next stage of my life where, you know, people aren't swinging on chandeliers, great. But in the meantime, I have a life to live.
Isn't there something to be said for when you're, so how will you know if you meet that extraordinary person if you're not open to it? Because I have a couple of friends who are single and one of them is open and the other one is not open. And I always say to the one that's not open, you're living your life with your head down. I mean, you're living your life. Yeah, you're doing your thing and she's a very strong, independent woman. One of the smartest people I've ever met. But she is living her life with her head down and she is not open to relationships or love and whenever. And yet she wants to have a relationship one day. I'm like, it doesn't, if your head is down, you won't meet somebody. There's got to be a certain level of openness.
Certain level of openness, and not to throw it back into your court with this, but I also know a lot of people who are in very unhappy marriages.
Right.
And
oh, wow. As she looks right at me, looking into my soul.
I'm not looking into your soul.
I can't.
But it's just that everybody thinks the grass is greener.
That's so true.
Right?
Yeah.
The grass is greener. Okay. And, you know, I have been in unhappy marriages and some of it's timing. I mean, my daughter's dad, I will never, ever say a bad word about him. It's just we were 21. What the heck do you know when you're 21
not
when you start
thing.
Dating?
Yeah.
Right. We got married when I was 24. You know, and we raised a child co-parenting. So right time, right place. But, you know, I sit there and I hear from people who have been married for almost 30 years now at my age talking about how lucky I am. So I don't think anybody has it all figured out. And, you know, I know, you know, I've read articles and heard about and talked to a couple of people that have come along my path in the last 10 years talking about this phenomenon of sexless marriages. And I'm thinking, and y'all want me to hook up?
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Really? Like, really?
Okay. So speaking of hookups though, this all sounds like really awesome. You're focusing on you, you're doing you, you're not particularly interested in casual relationships. So then I start thinking to myself, I could totally do this, except I'm a hoe and I need intimacy. So
she needs the touch of a man, Kimothy.
Yes.
She needs
so
that.
This is where it all falls apart for me. Do you miss intimacy?
Wow. I'm thinking of all the clients I have to have meetings with this afternoon. You know, I will say this, that I find really funny is somebody who was really open with my daughter and all of her friends about the importance of sex education. If you go to Shoppers Drug Mart, there is a whole shelf of very pretty vibrating things. Unless
that at Shoppers now?
At Shoppers Drug Mart.
Get out of the town.
Yeah. So
wow.
Unless there is an epidemic of neck pain, you know, I think that people are figuring some stuff out on their own, you know,
as we grab our necks.
And they're all in like pretty colors. And I was standing there as somebody that, you know, does marketing for a living. And I'm thinking they're all in pretty colors. They are clearly marketed to women. And I'm like, in Shoppers Drug Mart. So I think that a lot of people, and particularly all the articles I've read about women who are over 50 and 55, are not necessarily needing another person in the room.
Right.
Of course.
Because he doesn't come with 12 speeds and a remote control.
And a flashlight.
But, you know, there's also something to be said for like a deep kiss with another human being and those kinds of things. And a cuddle. And, you know, someone to snuggle up with at night and watch TV with.
And, you know, a couple of things on that. I'm a big hugger, right? So like men, women, kids, you know, whatever. It's a very important part of, I think, human connection. But I also don't like sharing a bathroom at all, ever.
Well, that's normal.
Yeah.
No woman does.
No. Don't want anybody in here. Don't, you know, so even when my daughter and her partner come to visit at Christmas, I've got like the whole, you know, okay, here's the thing. You guys sleep in. I get the bathroom from 6 a.m. till whenever I feel like it. So sharing space, I always think about, okay, so are you going home now? Like, you got to go. Like, you know, I want to sleep. I'm going to have covers on, covers off, hot flashes. You got to go.
Like, you're like living my life right now that I want to live. I want this life so badly. I don't want to share a space with a man. And I don't want, like, if I fantasize about what single Sandra's life would be like, as all women who've been married for 100 years do. And that's the first thing I always say is no damn sleepovers. You can bang me, but then you got to leave immediately. You can cut 5 minutes and you can tell me how beautiful it was and stroke my hair and get the fuck out when you're done. And you'll never have a code to my home. Right.
It's so funny to hear you two talk about that because I'm like on the different
Hillary's
end of
like,
the spectrum.
I'm never getting married.
Hillary's different. Hillary's like just moved in with a guy. She's starting something. I mean, it's, never mind what we just said, Hillary.
I live in a different world. I honestly am very thankful for my life. I live like on my own, basically, Monday to Friday. And I have a lovely relationship weekends only.
That's the dream right there.
And he's hot, too. He's smoking hot, actually.
Where do you make him go from Monday to Friday? Like a cave or something?
No, I our house is an hour away from where I work, and we work early mornings in radio, so it just doesn't work. So I have a place close to work, and then he's an hour away.
That's where the other guy is.
Sure, yeah.
All the men.
That's the dream. I used to say to my friends when I was single through most of my 30s and 40s, I just want a boyfriend that lives down the street. Like, you know, he's just got to go somewhere else, not in my space.
That's right.
It was hard because when you're a single mother dating, you don't want your kids to get attached. So it's all very clandestine in case it works out. And you know, I think my daughter met one person that, maybe two that I cared about in all that time, because you don't want your kids to get attached in case it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's very true. Can I tell you what my fantasy is? Because you just triggered something in me. And I don't want anyone to think I'm a bad person, but we all know I'm a bad person.
Yes.
My ultimate fantasy is having my husband die in the next 10 years. Because if he dies, then I will be very well taken care of financially. Now, I feel like he's 10 years is fine. He's 50, 62 is a good life. Yes. It's a good life lived.
I think you might want to burn this tape. You might want to burn it in case something, you know.
Oh, my God forbid it's a car accident and I was driving. You know what I mean?
I covered courts for a long time. This is not going to work out well for you.
This isn't? Okay.
No.
So I'm just saying, let's
Exhibit
just say,
a.
I don't want him to die, but I'm saying if he does, it needs to happen in the next 10 years, right around the time I'm retiring.
So well, that you're still hot, right?
Okay. And I'm still adorable and hot. And then I get the house and I get all the money.
Okay, so back to, and at that point, you're going to turn the lights on and meet someone new and turn loud music up?
No, I don't want to fucking meet another man. I'm out. I want to be you. I want to opt out completely. And I want to live in a house that has two bedrooms so my kids can visit.
That's what I have.
But they can't stay.
Yep.
You can't
stay.
And
you want to hire escorts. Just be honest.
Well, no, you know what? I don't think I need to hire an escort. If you see me, I'm adorable.
Absolutely.
Like what guy would
you just go out and find some strange and then get rid of them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a Montreal girl. I know how to do this. It's catch and release.
Okay,
it's what I was born to do, man.
Not to get into too much detail, but catch and release, statistically, read a bit about this, really not great for the women involved in the catch and release because the men, they don't care. They're just, you know, picking you up at, I'm going to date myself and say Maxwell's, for example.
Oh, you didn't.
And then
that's a place where the hoes go in Ottawa.
And then they're doing, you know, the walk
of shame.
So
you're a regular?
The next morning. They closed it because of Sandra.
When I lived in Ottawa the first time, I actually found a nice Italian boy there who spoke not a word of English, but we did speak the language of love together one night. Not a word of English. I brought him back to my place. And I got him out real quick.
I hear what you're saying, though, Kimothy, that it takes a while for men to figure out our bodies. Because let's be honest, they're not rocket scientists.
It takes us to figure out, right? I was listening to one of your podcasts about, you know, when we're in our 20s, we're clueless. We don't know, right? And, you know, it's this weird irony that, you know, in your 50s, you probably know, but now you got to communicate that to another human being. So I don't necessarily think it's just men have trouble figuring it out. I think that there are a lot of women who haven't figured it out themselves, and we don't want to tell someone else that we have needs, God forbid, you know, like we're very in our early, I don't want to generalize, but 20s and 30s, we're more concerned about not wanting to impose on someone else.
Right.
Even
right?
if you do know your body, I remember like being nervous, like, oh, maybe they'll think that I'm telling them that they're not a good lover.
And?
I don't want to offend them. I really like this one.
And they can work on stuff. Yeah. But, you know, I think that's a confidence that happens after 50, honestly, is because you just don't care anymore. And if people don't like what you're saying, well, they know where they can go.
They know where they can go. Usually at 50, women have such a good support system of women around them. And yeah. we've built up all these great relationships and confidence. And yeah, I can't see myself giving two shits about a dude if I ever become single, and more than my friends. And yeah, I don't want to be single now. Never mind.
It's funny.
I'm scared.
I always remember an ex said to me, if only you had tried harder.
What?
Oh, God.
Yeah. That was the end of that relationship. But if only you had tried harder. And I remember that to this day thinking, wow, I was like burning the candle at both ends, trying everything in my power. And, you know, it was that deflection of if only you had tried harder. And now I just don't care. You know, it's like I'm trying the best I can. I'm trying to work on me and grief and loss and all of that other stuff that happened in the last, you know, couple of years. And if somebody's not in it because they actually care about me, don't care. You can go. You know where the door is.
You know where the door is. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if you were to head back out into the dating world, that people that you would date would be overwhelmed because you are such a strong human being? You've gone through a lot. You're doing the work. But beyond that, you're like a powerful business person.
And it's tough when a guy would date a woman like you who really has a, I'll take your leave. If I can't have you, I'll be okay. Because that's a tough thing for a guy. That's an ego shot. A 20-year-old guy couldn't handle a woman like that.
But this is why this is the needle in the haystack, right? Because why would I settle for anything less,
right,
than somebody that has it all figured out and has done, not all figured out, but has done their own work, knows what their boundaries are, what they want, what kind of life they want in this phase of life. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, this is a phase of life where you're starting to think about retirement and what that looks like. Why would I settle for somebody who has not done the really tough work that I've been trying to do?
Do you think that you'll ever end up partnering with another man again? Or is your perfect partnership, you're in your house and he's down the street somewhere else, and then you just go to dinner, travel together, and then at the end of the night, it's like, okay, there's the door. See you Monday.
That's the dream.
Isn't it the dream? That's my dream too.
That's the dream.
Totally my dream.
You know, throw a cottage in there and, oh, yeah. you know, going back and forth. But I know people who have been together for a long time who live three blocks apart. And that to me is the dream, is you each get your own space, or then you just get some big house and you have separate rooms or departments or however you want to do it. But oh my gosh, poor Hillary. She's going to be sitting there going, I'm never, ever.
Are you kidding? My grandmother, after my grandfather died, she traveled the world with companions. This is not foreign.
Yes. And there's this whole, you know, women who travel and blogs and all of that kind of stuff. Because statistically, we know that if you get divorced in your 50s, women are far less likely to remarry. Men usually are mostly remarried within 5 years. Because the women are like, I am done with that.
Well, we don't need somebody else. Right. Yeah,
and I don't know why the statistics are different in that. I think men like the comforts of home and what they always knew. Kids, cooking, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Meanwhile, I think, and I'm certainly no expert on relationships, clearly, I think that women like being liberated and being able to just focus on their stuff.
I think there's something to be said as well for us being able to find emotional connection in relationships that are non-romantic. So like we can connect with other women, we can connect with other men on an emotional level because we're able to speak about our emotions, where there seems to be some sort of physical connection that's needed for, and this is, of course, is generalizing, but traditionally with the patriarchy, like, there seems to be more of a need on that side for guys.
Well, and I definitely think you're right, because emotional connection, I think, as we get older, doesn't have to be the primary person. We start to look outside of that sometimes for, you know, I think the three of us all have really good women in our lives who are really important to us and just feed us. So, you know, as I think as we get older or just more mature and we get it a little more, it's not about, you know, being 24 years old and having to find the one. I've had several ones. Like, it's not the one, right? And that whole, you know, Sandra said, you know, a little while ago, that whole Disney princess crap that we're fed.
Oh, I know.
About, you know, you need Prince Charming. Ooh, you know, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, oh, God, poor Hillary. Honestly, we're killing
the
dream.
For me.
We're killing the dream.
You know, it's you're in a different place, though, Hillary, because both Kimothy and I have a similar experience in that we both got together with our guys very, very young. I was 24 when I met mine. You said you were 21.
21.
Mm-hmm. I, unfortunately, am still with mine. But Hillary has had the benefit of having several long-term relationships, and she's lived with men before. And so she's like, I feel like you're doing it the right way and that you kind of know who you are by now, right? And you're not jumping into something and then figuring it out together. You have lived this crazy independent life up until now.
I don't think there's any expectation that we're going to become this like couple with a name, like a singular name. I think we'll always be individuals because we do live very different lives. He's into sports. I'm into music. Like, we're very different. But I think that's like maybe the only advantage to have never found love before the age of 30 something. It was, as much as I bemoan it taking so long, I think it's pretty good.
Well, I mean, just look at the difference. If you meet somebody at, say, 38 versus 24 or 21, you know, you change so much between 21 and, say, 30. And then again, between 30 and 35, you're kind of sorting some stuff out. But both people, I think, in that relationship have a far greater sense of self. But then when you hit the 50s, you've lived a lifetime of raising children and all of that stuff. So it gives you this unique perspective on time's running out. And what do you want these years to look like? And when you start realizing that, you know, your friends are retiring from work, you know, retirement parties, you know, you start thinking that, all right, I'm going to put a laser focus now on what's important. And swinging from the chandelier is just not important to me. It's about deep, meaningful connections and living the rest of my life, whatever that looks like, not settling. I don't want to settle. I don't want to go to Maxwell's and settle. Can you see me doing the walk of shame down Elgin Street?
Kimothy, I invented the walk of shame. Please. It's not that bad. You get used to it. Trust me. But you know what? I can't see you doing the walk of shame, and nor should you ever do the walk of shame. And no, even if you wanted to be the catch and release girl or whatever, there's no shame in it.
No.
Who gives a shit? We're empowered now. We do whatever we want. And it's not guys who are doing one night stands. We'll do the one night stands if we choose to do one. And you can leave my house shamefully in the morning.
Well, hopefully around 2 a.m. would be best.
That's right.
Know?
That's true. Yeah. No sleepovers.
I want to get a good night's sleep. My daughter calls it something like, I can't remember now, but strut of pride or something like that. Because
awesome.
I used that term once and she was like, Mom, that is so not, you know, 2020. Women should not be shamed anymore for, you know, walking home with their high heels in their hand. And, you know, I said, I still think it's kind of funny, but, you know, who can walk in those in a Canadian winter, like down the people winter looting, right? And you're like
right,
walking with your
right.
high heels.
You know, the shame isn't about the sex that you just had. The shame is about like the loser that you, when you wake up in the morning and it's like, shit, I thought you were attractive. That's the shame
wow.
is that I always, that's was always my shame is like, damn it, that's the best I could do.
And see, sometimes I wonder if one night stands would be different. Like, that's not the lives we lead anymore, right? So if things have changed, our idea of what is acceptable for sexual performance as a female and what connection is has changed. Wouldn't one night stand be more satisfying if we had one today?
I have never had a one night stand. I know Sandra just whipped her head around and looked at me.
Sorry, I have nothing to say to that.
Her head.
Well, and one night stand doesn't have to mean like all the way. But I mean, if you were to have intimacy.
You have to remember I was in a very public job from the age of 21. And then I was married for a long time at 24. But yeah, that was never part of my life. And, you know, strangers kind of freaked me out a little bit. So no, wasn't part of my life. I had lovely people I revisited periodically who I knew, but no, the, haven't had that experience in my life of not knowing, like, what was your last name again? Nah.
They do leave you empty. I will say this about one night stands. You're really not missing too much. The best part about the one night stand is always the front end, the seduction. That's always the best part of every one night stand. I've had one or two back in the day. And well, back in the day, like what, 30 years ago. And but yeah, it was always about the seduction and it was never about the sex ever. And then the shame was all about like, man, you're not that good looking anymore. But yeah, it's a seduction.
But that's the thing, though, that I think that we're kind of zeroing in on is at this point in my life, man, someone's going to have to make an effort because it is about that connection and the dance, right? And all of that kind of magical stuff, an effort, romance. And, you know, and I think that at this point, it's okay when you get to this stage of life to say, and if not, not interested, sorry. You know, I mean, relationships change as you get old. What your relationship requirements change as you get older.
Of course. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast, Kimothy. And we're going to delete the part about me wanting my husband dead, if you don't mind. Hillary, can we go back in the recording there? I'm now regretting some of the earlier comments. But if you ever opt
in. I'll also delete the part where I admit to having one night stand.
Yes, if you don't mind taking that out about me. Thank you so much. Listen, if you ever do decide to opt in, call me. I want to hear more.
Yeah, well, I will opt in. I will tell you something, like just one last thing, though. When my dad was sick, he said, you know, I've thought a lot about it. And if you decide that you're going to start dating women now, I understand. Because I think he thought I ran out of options. So I'm like, well, thanks, Dad, but it doesn't really go that way.
No, it doesn't go that way.
No.
Tolerance more than options.
A lovely idea, but yeah. But if I decide that I'm going to start dating and he's a good sport about it, I will call you and we'll talk about the tea light in another part of the house.
Pink light. Get the pink light, Kimothy.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.